Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to this program entitled The Bible on Trial, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry. Today is April 19, 2024, and we're delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us here on our Blog Talk Radio podcast. We will get started in just a minute or two, but I want to remind you that we have a website located at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld. That's the primer for Spirit of Truth Ministry. We also have lots and lots of good writing by Rick, and we encourage you to go there and use that as a resource. Again, it is spiritoftruthministry.net. We also have a secondary website. It's located at spiritoftruthministry.net/S, capital T, capital M. That stands for Spirit of Truth Ministry. There you will find lots of good writing by Rick and the rest of us, including some from Dr. Don, who is on the phone with us today. And we also encourage you to go there and make use of that as a resource. Our only foray into social media is Facebook, and you will find us on Facebook at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. Thank you for joining us. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, grant us what you have promised us, a new way of looking at life, of looking at truth, where there is peace and prosperity, not just prosperity in the form of financial stuff. That is very minor. But in the prosperity of the truth, which brings us to the place where we can acknowledge that God is the Father, the Mother, and the Son, and that the truth is the highest form of currency in the universe. And Father, we pray right now that you will deliver to us the riches of the truth as we listen and as we learn today on this podcast. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, if I can find the cursor, there we go. I'm going to say hi to Dr. Don. Good morning, Dr. Don. Hang on there.
Hey, everyone.
Yep. So you doing all right today, Don?
No.
Okay.
Just same. And on top of that, getting older and older.
And isn't that a good thing? Anyway, we're happy that you are with us.
My basic advice is everybody fasten your safety belts. Strap down your helmet and get ready, because it's going to be a rough ride here in the next few months.
In the spiritual sense.
In the spiritual sense, right. And by the way, Don, thank you for reminding me of that. I flew this last week. Rick was on his own for the last Sabbath program and the Friday program, because I was in Florida visiting my younger sister, who is ill. And doing well. She's got cancer, and she's doing well. But my twin sister and her husband and I flew out, and then we flew back, and both flights were wonderful. I highly recommend, and I'll give them a plug. Delta is a great airline, not the least of which is that they fly mostly Airbus equipment. And the first thing that the pilot said before they even backed out of the gate, he got on and said, we're happy that you're here. We're going to be flying to Orlando. It's going to take us about 4 hours and 49 minutes. Could be a little longer. And please fasten your seat belts and keep them fastened until you need to get up if for any reason. I will put on the fasten the seat belt sign if we experience turbulence, and please find your seats right then and buckle up. There can be turbulence to what Rick says and to what this ministry is proposing, as what will happen as opposed to what was going to happen and is no longer. So listen carefully, get a piece of paper out like Don does every week, get your Bible out, and again, prepare for some turbulence. Good morning, Rick.
And how do you prepare for turbulence if you don't know what turbulence is, what turbulence does, and how to respond?
Yeah.
So you need to study and learn what you do in turbulence.
Absolutely.
Because there are things you can do that will make matters worse and not better. I'm going to start the study today, and in this study, I'm going to do a little bit of prophecy. I can guarantee, and I know a lot of people get a little nervous when I say I can guarantee, but I can guarantee pretty certainly that you're not going to hear it anywhere else. And I do look to see what others are saying. There are a lot of dreamers and prophesiers on social media sharing dreams and prophecy, how they understand it, how they claim that the Lord has shown them certain things, and maybe the Lord has, and most times I doubt seriously that the Lord had anything to do with what they came to understand. That is the Lord of truth. The Lord of lies, he can convince you of almost anything if you're in a mindset to be convinced. Right now, I have been hearing, and you probably have too, a lot of talk about World War III. And talk about Armageddon. And talk about the red heifer. And the Third Temple group in Israel who is actively working to bring about the building of the Third Temple. There are those that are looking at prophecies in the prophets, Ezekiel, particularly Ezekiel and Daniel, some others in Jeremiah, Isaiah. Joel, a little bit from each one, almost each one. And it's interesting where your focus has been and is what determines how you come to understand what your expectation is of the future and as what the current events are telling you about that future. For those who believe that this is Armageddon, and many, or the lead up to Armageddon, in other words, the lead up to Armageddon is a nuclear holocaust. Are basically picking a prophecy out of Revelation and drawing a prophetic conclusion about it. The revelation is a lot like what the Son of God told his disciples that evening, night on the Mount of Olives, when they asked him about the end of the world, the end of the age, the desolation of the temple. He gave them many bits of information. And in that prophecy of Matthew chapter 24 and 25, he outlined more than one reality for the future. And he did the same thing with Revelation, more than one reality of the future. And this is not unusual or out of the question or something that God never does. I've had people tell me that if God gave a prophecy and he said that this is what is going to happen, it is going to happen. Period. It's going to happen. If it doesn't happen at the certain time, then it'll happen sometime in the future.
And by saying that, they can make any prophecy say anything that they want it to say.
And apply it to any time that they want it to, that they want to apply it to.
And I am going to post on our Facebook page a little paper that Rick wrote and just how prophecy works. There's seven rules of prophetic interpretation. I think you'd like to see that.
I have a question for you, Dennis, while you're
there. I'll wait and keep my attention focused on the question.
What did God tell Jonah that the real issue with the people of Nineveh was as to why he said he told Jonah that he was going to destroy them in 40 days. But even so, with that fact, he sent Jonah to Nineveh to inform them that he was going to destroy the city in 40 days. What did God say that the real problem with those in Nineveh was that was the key element in why they were to that point of destruction?
Their cup of iniquity was full. Verse 2 of Jonah 1:2, arise, go to Nineveh. God is talking to Jonah. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And so he didn't want to do that.
Well, why didn't he want to do it?
Because he Well, he's everybody knew how wicked Nineveh was. I mean, you know, even where Jonah was.
But
living.
Why didn't Jonah want to go and inform the people of Nineveh that God was going to destroy them? And did God warn Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain before he destroyed them?
Actually, no.
No, he didn't.
Nope.
So what was different about Nineveh that God felt it, you know, and this is, that's just a term of, obviously God knows everything from the very beginning to the very end. But why was it that God felt it necessary to send Jonah to Nineveh to tell the people that he was going to destroy them in 40 days?
To give them a chance to respond and change their ways.
Okay, so why them and not Sodom and Gomorrah?
The only thing I can say about that is that what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah had been fixed and was not able to be changed.
Like the heart of the people before the flood?
Right.
And when God didn't destroy Nineveh, how did Jonah feel?
Oh, he felt God had betrayed him. That why did you say, I mean, I delivered the message.
Didn't he say, I told you.
Right.
I said, I knew it. Because I know you, and I know that if the people changed,
you wouldn't
destroy them.
Right.
And then I would look like an utter fool.
And it was all about Jonah, not about the people of Nineveh.
But the thing is, does God want to cause destruction if he knows that if the people are given the opportunity to know their right hand from their left, they wouldn't be doing that? The reason they're doing that is because that's how every generation has been. They don't know any differently.
And why would God not change prophecy? Okay, because God doesn't change it. When he states it, he means it for that time. Why would God change his mind about changing the prophecy that would affect the whole world unless he knew that that change would be a positive change for the world? You see, we have been taught all along, Rick, especially if you've studied Revelation and you know that there is a great tribulation in Revelation. There is also a time when Satan comes up out of the abyss with his minions and rules the world for 5 months. And there's hell on earth. And only a small group of the people on earth are at that moment ready and willing to go out and tell people what's going on. All right? And most of the world would be lost.
Well,
there's still a big multitude that's saved.
Wait a minute, Dennis. The last 5 months of the 3.5-year period,
right?
What is happening during the previous months? Because there's 42 months.
Oh, you've got.
So what's happening all during the trumpet? But what's happening? What are the people doing?
They're suffering. They're
Dennis, the 144,000 are presenting the truth to the people during the trumpet.
Right. I know that. The 144,000 will expand, and that's what I'm saying. There's going to be people who listen to them.
So in other words,
but
what is happening during that reality is that God is sending destruction after destruction after destruction, but only a third of the earth is experiencing the destruction. And what is it to do? It is to wake the people up so that they know they have to make a decision.
Right.
And those who endure to the end, who endure to the end will receive a crown of life.
Right.
That last 5 months, when Satan is released from the abyss. Now, just understand that this is not going to happen.
This is a different reality.
But what I'm saying is that last five months is everyone who has received the truth and has been sealed by God will be in one group. And everyone who are still kind of on the fence and they don't really know if it's really happening and they're going along more with the world, but they haven't committed to Satan. That's when Satan is released and he then says, you either are with me or you're dead. And so out it comes. We have the sixth trumpet. What is the sixth trumpet, Dennis?
It's a war.
It's the war. The
great war of the day of God Almighty.
Spiritually speaking, the waters, the flood is released from the great river Euphrates, and that's the great war where blood is flowing down the streets to the height of a
bridle
and so on. Who's being affected by that, Dennis, incidentally?
Only the wicked.
Those who do not have the seal of the living God, that's who's affected by it. So then in the heavens, we see this multitude which no one can count. Where did they come from? They came out of the great tribulation. But that reality isn't going to happen, you see. Why? Because what did God not have at the beginning of the great tribulation, when the censer is cast down? What did he not have?
A kingdom.
He did not have a kingdom. When Nineveh was doomed to destruction and God sent Jonah to inform them that they were going to be destroyed, what did God not have?
A kingdom.
When the Messiah came to earth and he showed up there on the bank of the Jordan River, asked John the Baptist to baptize him, what did he not have?
A kingdom. Right.
When he went through the villages and the towns and the cities and the hillsides and he was proclaiming what?
Oh, the soon coming.
The good news of the kingdom.
Right.
If he had a kingdom, would he be proclaiming the good news of the kingdom to his kingdom?
No.
Oh.